The News from Lake Wobegon podcast is supported by Pillsbury Crescent Rolls, available in your grocer's refrigerated section. You can check out PillsburyCrescents.com for holiday recipes like Crescent Bacon Cheddar Pinwheels and Crescent Wrapped Brie.
It's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. Got a little fresh snow here on Wednesday to freshen up our landscape, and it was beautiful, it was dazzling, it was white, it was gorgeous. You went out on Wednesday night before Thanksgiving and took a break from cooking your turkey and your sweet yams and all that you made, and your pies, and it was the most dazzling sight out there. It was about 30 degrees, it was warm, and all the world was white and shining. It's a beautiful, beautiful Thanksgiving, stream of exiles coming back home. Dwayne Bunsen came up from Dallas, Texas, where on the Sunday night before he had left his home and his family and gone to live in a hotel in Dallas. He drove all the way up from Dallas to Lake Wobegon thinking about his life and how unhappy he was, but not as unhappy as he had been for the last 6 months, leaving his wife Melissa, who had won the National Gift Wrapping Championship in 1995, when she wrapped a basketball in silver paper with only five perfect creases in it. Hard living with a perfectionist. He came home to his mother and father, Arlene and Clarence, and they asked a brief question about Melissa and the children, and he said, "They're not coming," and that was all they needed to know. We have so many ways to not talk about things in Lake Wobegon, and so much not to talk about, and we are good at it. Irene and Clint Bunsen welcomed their daughter Melanie and her husband Todd and their two little girls, including one beautiful, shining granddaughter, Bridget, who Irene had not seen before because she and Melanie were not speaking to each other for a while. And here came the granddaughter, 4 years old, this little girl in pink denim and a pink shirt walking in, such a beauty, such a blonde, blue-eyed beauty, and this intensity in her eyes. Where did all this come from? From some secret genetic pool somewhere not available to the others. She adored this child, and because she loved this child so much, she barely looked at the child. She paid attention to her cooking, and she made her pie, and she let the child watch her instead. Bridget came into Clint and Irene's bed on Wednesday night, and then Clint evacuated for the sofa downstairs, and Irene woke up about 2 a.m. in a pool of vomit. The child had emptied her stomach, and she lay sleeping up on high ground, up in the dry part of the bed. And Irene, the perfect grandmother, without waking the child up, stripped the sheets off and made the bed again, lifting the child up. And she went into the shower, and then she was looking for her other pair of pajamas, and she walked naked down stairs and down to the basement, passing her son-in-law, Todd, who was sitting there getting over a hangover. She didn't stop. She didn't cover herself. She just walked on past, and she said, "No photographs." And he said, "No problem." She went down, and she got her clean pajamas and put them on and went back up to bed. Not that she slept. She just looked at this angelic child sitting, lying there next to her. Last Sunday at Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church, they sang "Beautiful Savior," and they sang "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, Let Angels Prostrate Fall." But people weren't thinking about the hymns. They were looking at that strange woman whom some people in church recognized, Myrtle Anderson, who walked in a long black woolen coat trimmed with alpaca and sat down in the fourth pew from the front, where she had sat in olden days before she absconded with $200,000 from the Lake Wobegon State Bank, the Sunday school teacher from our church, and she'd gone to live in Buenos Aires, and now here she'd come back. Her brother is still living in Lake Wobegon, her brother Bob. She sat down there all alone, and the Horners, who usually sit in that pew, did not contest her for that spot. They let her be there, and they all stared at her. Pastor Liz didn't know why they were all staring. Pastor Liz is new to town. She hasn't heard all the stories yet. The sermon was on forgiveness, of course. You knew that it would be. It was the text, the gospel text from the Gospel of Luke, and Jesus is on the cross with a thief on crosses on either side of him, and one thief makes fun of Jesus, and the other says, "Lord, forgive me, forgive me, and take me into your kingdom." And Jesus assures him that tomorrow you will be with me in paradise. Pastor Liz preached a sermon that was so striking. It was about forgiveness, of course, but it said that people act either out of love or out of fear, one or the other, and it's very hard to choose love over fear. It was a striking sermon because it ended after 6 minutes while people were still paying attention to it. It just ended, disappeared in thin air. Myrtle came to the fellowship hour in the basement afterward, and not many people wanted to fellowship with her. Only newcomers, people who'd been around when she stole all that money from the bank, like Dorothy from the Chatterbox, didn't want anything to do with her. And then Dorothy overheard Myrtle saying that it was good to be back home, even though people didn't welcome her. And Dorothy walked up to her, and she said, "You owe us an explanation, at the very least. You can't just waltz in here and expect us to throw our arms around you. Not after what you have done, you can't." Myrtle said, "I was in love with your cousin. I was in love with your cousin Arthur. We were engaged for 15 years. And he was always on the verge of marrying me. And then he went off to Cincinnati, and he was going to get a job there. And he was going to send for me, and I was going to go. And a year passed, and my mother said, 'Myrtle, you and Arthur have been engaged for 16 years. People are starting to talk.' And I wrote to him, and he never answered. And I realized that my hope of love had gone, that I was never going to find love in Lake Wobegon, and it wouldn't be there for me in Cincinnati. So I took what I felt was coming to me, and I went to Buenos Aires, where I found love. Ramon, I make no apologies. I make no apologies. It was wrong, but I make no apologies." "Oh," Dorothy said, "you can do better than that. You can do better. Don't come into my cafe and expect me to recognize you." They had had the lutefisk dinner in Lake Wobegon at the Lutheran church just last week. And even though now they have a different kind of lutefisk that doesn't leave a strong aroma, still older people prefer the old style, the classic lutefisk, and you can still smell that for weeks afterward. And the smell of lutefisk, which Myrtle Anderson had not had for 30-some years living in Buenos Aires, moved her and brought back memories of Mama and Papa and Grandma and Grandpa, and brought back memories of Yet Barner Food, I Bethlehem, all the Christmas hymns. She could remember them all now, and she could remember her people, and she could remember the Christmas goose and the caramelized potatoes and the saffron rolls. And she sat there and she wept. Pastor Liz did what she should do. She put her arm around her. She pulled out a clean hanky. The old lady's face glistening with tears. They just would not stop. She walked out, weeping out as the snow was coming down. So it was a typical Thanksgiving. Sinners returning home and being forgiven or not, or at least we thought about it. Melanie came downstairs on Thanksgiving afternoon, came downstairs to talk to her mother, Irene. She said, "Bridget said that she threw up in bed last night." "No, no, 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 no. No, I would have known it if she had." "No, she didn't. She was perfectly fine. Slept like an angel the whole night through." "Well, how come I found all those bedclothes down in the dryer?" "Well, I like to change the sheets sometimes if I can't get to sleep at night. I just like to change them. I was warming them up. I forgot to go down and get them." "Todd said he saw you walking naked through the living room." I do that. I'm sorry. I don't regard nudity as anything weird. Do you? No. The beautiful granddaughter. She's playing piano. She's doing gymnastics. She's gorgeous. What a beautiful thing. The current generation, we don't know about. They run into all kinds of problems they could have easily avoided. But this new shining generation of four-year-olds, some five-year-olds, some as old as six, there's a lot of promise. A lot of promise for these kids. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.